A lot of times people get sick and they can't work. They can't lead their business. Insurance, obviously people know me as a financial guy. But what I talk to people about is that insurance is never going to be the most exciting part of your financial portfolio, but it might be the most essential. It's the one thing that will provide you financial independence when no one else will.
Hello and welcome to the Mommy Millionaire Show. This is your host, Kayla Kraft. I am a mom of three, multimillionaire, master life coach, and money mindset queen. I am so happy and thankful that you're here. I am actually on a mission to help 1 million women make $1 million or more a year. That could be you. Every week, I'm bringing you inspiring stories to help you feel empowered to broaden your horizons, to gain clarity and strategy on living your best life. Over at Mommy Millionaire, we pursue our lives with purpose and love, and the riches always follow. So stay tuned because I'm bringing you episodes twice a week. I believe you are your biggest asset. So let's build you up today. Let's get into it. Hello, beautiful mommy millionaires. You're tuning into this show because you are interested in growing your wealth. And so I'm always looking for the best people to bring on the show and introduce you to new concepts, ways to increase your income, or either grow your wealth. And so today I'm bringing on my friend, Jack. He is a VP at Five Rings Financial. And, you know, their whole focus in this company is to educate people on how money works and show that your whole life cannot be focused on making money. You have to learn how to make your money work for you. And so they teach people the fundamentals of personal finance. And if you're looking to capture the upside of potential market returns without a lot of risk, and you want to leverage some of the savings that you might have, they use safe money strategies to help you prepare for the future. And so I'm really excited to bring on Jack because he is a father, he's a husband, and his life is focused on servant leadership. He's focused on helping people get what they want. He knows he's always going to have what he wants. And he's been a huge help in helping the Kraft household grow their wealth. We were introduced through my friend, Brent Mott, who is my mentor in storage unit investing. He was like, you've got to know Jack. So here he is today. Please help me welcome Jack Waldron to the Mommy Millionaire Show. Okay, I am pumped, Mommy Millionaires, because I'm bringing you a really special interview today. We're going to bring on a money expert. He happens to be the executive vice president at Five Rings Financial. I know it sounds super fancy, and you're going to learn a lot from today's episode. We have Jack Waldron on with us today. He began his career in 2005 in Colorado, and he has experience as a national agency leader. And I'm really excited because I had no idea what any of these terms meant until I met with Jack and my husband a few months ago, and he's totally helped me increase my wealth. And I'm so excited to teach you exactly how he can help you today. Okay. So he has alternatives to today's volatile market. He helps you create solutions to protect your hard-earned savings, the income that you're working so hard for. Okay. So we're going to talk about ways to do that today. So help me welcome Jack to the Mommy Millionaire Show. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you, Kayla. Great to see you and great to be here with everybody.
So we met because one of my mentors, Brent, he is helping me out in like the storage unit investing world. And he sent me a text and was like, hey, I think you should meet with my friend Jack. And I was like, okay. So we met on a Zoom, and that just tells you right there, like, listen to your mentor, you guys, because success will leave clues and just be a coachable person. So I didn't even ask why. I just said, okay, I'll meet with Jack. And I'm so glad he told me about you because you've been able to help me grow my wealth in just a few short months. And so I'm excited to teach people how to do that. But when I got on the, you know, our first conversation with you, I mean, I was like mind blown. I was like, how did I not know this information before? And that's when I knew. I was like, I have to have you on the Mommy Millionaire Show because every mommy millionaire needs to know about what it is that you do. So Jack, before we get into that, because I like to, you know, just like dangle the carrot here. People have to like wait to hear what I'm talking about. Okay. What do you think in the US education system primarily is like a huge detriment to Americans when they're entering the real world and the workforce? Like, what is lacking from our system?
Unfortunately, you know, we go to school for a long time and we learn things like reading, writing, and math, but there's a few things that we don't really learn about, like how to raise kids, how to stay married, and how to handle money. And I'm not saying that I'm a marriage or a parent expert, but I've spent the last 17 years doing the best I can as a financial expert. And when you look at the statistics in our country today, it's pretty dire, right? Like, you know, most everybody has a goal to be financially independent someday, or maybe they have a dream to be financially independent and not necessarily have to work every day for the rest of their life. Unfortunately, by the age of 65, less than 2% of people are actually financially independent. I mean, the large majority of Americans are not crossing the finish line. And unfortunately, they're not even seeing the finish line, you know, so there's definitely a gap there. And I'm not here to say that the education system is horrible and broken, but there's just definitely some gaps there that need to be filled and can certainly, you know, make a difference on people's lives.
Well, it's okay if you call out the school system because I always am. So okay. Nobody's going to get their feelings hurt over here. So, all right. You taught me this concept of infinite banking. Yes, you guys, write that down because you're going to want to learn more about this. Okay. So it's not thrown around often in conversation. And I've been in masterminds and worked with business coaches for the last like 8 years. And nobody had ever told me about infinite banking, which I just think that's mind blowing. Okay. Because I've been around a lot of people. And so tell me, like, I think everybody should know about it. I know you believe the same, but can you share with mommy millionaires what the heck is infinite banking?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, so infinite banking is not something that you're going to learn about, obviously, like we just talked about in school, right? You know, I remember going through years and years of school, and I even had to take classes like algebra. You know, unfortunately, I'm not really using any of that later on in life, and we don't really learn a whole lot about money. And when you look at, like I said, statistics in our country, currently, you know, the 10% of the wealthiest people in our country own 70% of the wealth. So, and when you look at even within that 10%, of the 10% of the wealthiest people in our country, the top 1% owns 35%. So there is a massive difference between the haves and the have-nots in our country, right? And for most of us, you know, we're raised as regular Americans. And since we don't learn a whole lot about how money works in school, we usually follow the example of the people closest to us, our friends and family. Well, pretty good chance that there's a 90% chance that we're going to be following the examples of 90%ers. And so we may not know a whole lot about what's out there. And for most people, if they do anything, it might just be taking a little bit of their excess money and putting it into a bank, right? And so we do that, and maybe we have like a job with some benefits and a 401k, and we don't really quite understand how that works. And you know, we just kind of go throughout our lives not really knowing much else of what's out there, just kind of doing what we think was right. And then we end up in these traps in situations, right?
What was the example set for you?
It was unfortunately having to learn a hard lesson for me, you know, so the point that really changed my life was when my dad passed away suddenly and tragically from a heart attack. I was just 20 years old. And, you know, obviously young in my life, and watched what my mom had to go through. You know, my parents had worked really, really hard to start their own little company in Colorado. We lived in a small town at that time. And, you know, things seemed fine going about our everyday lives. My dad and mom also worked really, really hard, 6 and 7 days a week. But when he passed away and we found out that he had no insurance, and within the next year and a half, found out that their whole life savings was in some, you know, not that they had a lot, but just their whole savings were sitting in very risky strategies. And 2008 was not a good time to be in those type of strategies. My mom ended up going from bills being paid to losing my dad, income, house, foreclosure, bankruptcy, tons of just, you know, very difficult situations. So I had a front row seat for watching that happen. And it made a profound impact on my life. I watched that happen and, you know, just saw that the damage that it did within our family. You know, emotionally going through these things is tough for anybody. But when you add on top of it, all of the financial problems and shame and, you know, the catastrophic situation you deal with there, it makes it just even that much worse. So kind of became obsessively interested in the financial world, I'd say, when I was about 20, 21 years old, and really wanted to make sure that I break the trend in the Waldron household, make sure that nothing like that could ever happen. You know, my dad was phenomenal. He taught me a lot of great lessons, certainly how to work hard, take care of yourself and your family. But ultimately, there was just some bases that were left uncovered. And I wanted to find out, you know, how to change that. And so it set me on a journey of learning and trying to figure out what's out there. And it's a long, difficult journey, unfortunately, because I had no education. I grew up in a small podunk town where nobody around me certainly was in that 10% or 1% category. So it is pretty difficult. Unfortunately, I feel like the financial industry was designed to impress people and confuse them at the same time. And there's a lot out there and a lot of opinions, and it can be difficult. So I had to, first of all, find out, okay, who's winning this game and how do I follow their examples? Finding a mentor, finding examples that you could follow. You know, a picture is worth 1,000 words and an example is worth 1,000 pictures. So I got to go find folks that lead by example and follow those lessons. And so that's been a, you know, 17-year journey now.
What was the mindset there? Because I feel like most people would have an experience like that in their lives and they let it crush them. And you went out and you said, you know what, I want to find a solution and I want to, you know, be an impact maker. So what was going on in your mind that like helped you have that empowering perspective?
You know, my faith has a lot to do with that. And I would just say that everybody deals with stuff in their life. And ultimately, we're equipped with the ability and the freedom to make a choice. And, you know, I simply chose to live to honor my dad rather than to give up for that tragedy, you know. And I can't tell you that everyone in my family reacted the same, unfortunately. I can only lead, you know, with an example. And so when you have that feeling deep down that, you know, in your heart that I owe it to my dad, I owe it to the world to go out there and honor his memory by doing something about it. And, you know, and I chose to feel blessed. I chose to feel lucky that I had the dad that I had for 20 years who taught me so much. I'd rather live with that feeling than to live with, you know, feeling cursed. I'm not saying I was, you know, happy about it, you know, or anything. It's obviously a very, very difficult time. But, you know, I know everyone, it goes through stuff. And I'm not here to say my stuff's worse than your stuff and anything like that. But it's just, I don't know. It was ingrained in me. I felt like that was my responsibility to go do something in his honor.
Yeah. Well, I think that's so empowering. And I think it's important that the Mommy Millionaires like hear that perspective, because a lot of us can get into victim mode. You know, why me? Why is this happening to me? When is it going to be easy? And what you're saying is like, listen, like, you know, those that have gone before us, we should honor them, you know, and everything that like they'd had to go through to get you to that spot where you would have that perspective. He raised you to be that way. And I'm sure he's looking down on you, so proud of you. And I mean, I know you've helped so many families up to this point. So you had this mission. It wasn't just about you, but it was really like, okay, I want to make sure that this doesn't happen to any other family. Is that right?
Yeah. First of all, I needed to learn for myself, figure out, you know, what was out there and what's right. What do I like? What do I not like? And ultimately, I do have an entrepreneurial attitude. My dad had started his own company. I knew from a very young age, it's actually kind of why I struggled in algebra too, is I couldn't see how that was going to help me in any sort of business that certainly I had an interest in. And so I've had this sort of like challenging mindset of not just sort of falling in line, but looking at how can I not only do something for myself, but also find a way to serve many, you know, how to help people. And ultimately, how could I make a living doing that? Would that be great? And so I can't tell you that it was when I was 20, 21, that I somehow figured it out. It took years before I got to the point where I felt like I could help people. So I kind of got started out by working with small companies and businesses doing benefits. You know, I became a major advocate for life insurance, and specifically life insurance you don't have to die to use. There's something called living benefit life insurance, which unfortunately is a massive gap for most American families in general, and especially business owners and entrepreneurs, where people maybe have car insurance and home insurance and health insurance, but there are things called living benefit life insurance that cost less than all those other things. And, you know, if you're say, diagnosed with cancer. We've had clients that had breast cancer, for example, where, you know, got to go through surgeries, chemo, radiation. And, you know, not everybody goes through a sudden tragic situation like with my dad. A lot of times people get sick and they can't work. Or they can't lead their business. Insurance, obviously people know me as a financial guy. You know, a lot of it is my financial guy. But what I talk to people about is that insurance is never going to be the most exciting part of your financial portfolio, but it might be the most essential. It's the one thing that will provide you financial independence when no one else will. And these things don't have to cost an arm and a leg. It's not like, you know, hey, just go spend a lot of money on insurance. But if you're going to protect your, you know, if you're going to work hard and provide for the future, you got to make sure you have those bases covered. So I kind of started with that. And then at the same time, always was massively interested in learning as much as I possibly could, surrounding myself with really smart and wealthy people to learn from their lessons. And I've just been a, it became my life's project to become a massive researcher. And so I didn't really grow up reading a whole lot of books or having a whole lot of interest in reading, but I've read and certainly, you know, listened to a ton of podcasts and books on the subject.
How did you start to get into those rooms with people that were wealthy?
You know what I found? Wealth leaves clues, right? And then you say it that way, and success leaves clues. And successful people like helping people. And if you have open eyes and open ears for lessons, there are many, many people that will help. And even people that you don't know personally, but literally there are people that are giving away parts of the wealth in their minds for pennies in the form of a book, right? There are people that have spent their entire lives and then share all of their life lessons on books. And I do know the statistic, which is 50% of people that get out of high school in America today never read or listen to another book for the rest of their life. And I grew up in an area where self-development or, you know, reading and researching and doing that stuff and anything other than just having a job and going to the bar on Friday nights was kind of weird, right? You know, and so I understand why that exists. And unfortunately, it's an epidemic of ignorance that exists, you know, in our country. So.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I didn't know 50%. That makes sense with why our world is where it is, honestly. So, okay, you're getting into, you know, helping people in these small businesses give out benefits, you know, is that what I'm hearing, to their employees?
For the business owners and for their employees, or just even self-employed folks and individuals and families, benefits, right? So just making sure they have things like their health insurance covered and supplemental stuff and also the living benefit life insurance. But as exciting as health insurance sounds, that wasn't my ultimate passion, right? That wasn't what I really wanted to do when I grow up.
So how did you get into the infinite banking world?
Okay. So to get, you know, when you start looking at getting into the financial world, what you'll find is that there are many different types of companies, right? And anywhere from, okay, you can go to your local bank and, you know, you can help people open up savings account, checking account, CDs, stuff like that. You can also jump to the opposite side of the spectrum and you can become a stockbroker and you can help people with really risky, you know, strategies and commodities and all sorts of stuff. Now, because I'm from a small town and, you know, have a little bit of a simpler background, and because of learning these lessons of what can happen if you take major risks, I'm naturally more of a conservative guy. And I sought out looking for companies that really were a little bit more common sense. I believe in education and coaching. I was introduced to my company that I work with now by going to one of the classes that we host. And so I went to this class. I was invited completely out of the blue. And this is where, if you believe in good timing, karma, or divine intervention, randomly one day I get introduced to this guy and he tells me about this Money 101 class. And I felt like I learned more about the simple stuff, basics, fundamental principles of how money works in that class than I learned in my entire life. Stuff that, again, a lot of, unfortunately, these are not bad people, but this industry trains people. And this is a good old boy industry, right? I know you have a lot of gals that listen to your group, mostly women. Women are very underserved in the financial industry. Financial industry is very much a good old boy society. And so it's sort of like, you know, again, because I was younger, most people I talked to in the financial world were taught to kind of talk down to me, talk over my head. They do the same thing with women as well. And, you know, so it can make you feel like you're on the outside. And so I was just bound and determined I wasn't just going to accept that. And so, you know, I go to this class and I felt like, wow, you know, they're giving this away. And there wasn't a catch. They weren't trying to convince me of something or, you know, sell me something or anything. It was just basically the heart of this company was just to give it away. And then if you want to know more, it's up to you to ask, you know? And so I asked and I became a client of this company first, loved what they did. I started learning about safer strategies, right? So that's kind of where I got my start, was by starting with kind of like creating a foundation, is the way we coach this now. You wouldn't build a house, right? I know you like real estate. You wouldn't build a house without having a foundation in it. Well, you probably shouldn't have a financial household you move into someday that doesn't have a foundation. So you got to start with something. But I don't mean by making, you know, 0.01%. There are foundational or safe money strategies that exist where our clients for the last 25, 30 plus years have earned reasonable rates of return, 7 or 8%. And that's not get rich quick, right? That's called get rich eventually, which is better
get
than
get rich eventually. I like that plan. Oh my gosh. So tell me about like the safer strategies, because I think most women, and it statistically shows that most women are great savers, but saving isn't the eventually rich plan. Because like you said, I mean, in those savings accounts, how much are they making on their money?
Yeah, nothing. When you look at, okay, again, I'm because I'm a financial guy, I'm not really a numbers person necessarily, but I guess I am with, you know, that's what financial world is. It's money, it's numbers. And statistics are really important. You know, I now teach those same classes that I attended 12, 13 years ago. And the statistic that scares me is that, you know, you look at over 70% of Americans have all of their money sitting in savings accounts. So most people, if they have any money left over, it's just sitting in their local bank. And I'm not anti-bank, I'm anti-ignorance. And that's why we teach classes. We need people to understand, if inflation is right now 8 or 9% and you're only earning 0.01%, you're not saving money, you're losing money. And it might sound crazy, but it's the reality. And if you don't find a way to flip that thing around, because now inflation's not always going to be 8 or 9. However, it will sit somewhere around 3 to 5% long term. So if you don't do anything, unfortunately, what you're making today and what you're saving today in the next 20 years could be worth less than half of what it's worth today. So you got to have a plan for how you're going to overcome a couple of problems, which is, how do we save more money and how do we make our money work harder for us? And it is it's a process and it's a mindset.
I like that. We're going to get into giving them some ideas later on, but explain the concept of infinite banking.
All right. So once you start with the baseline, right? So you've got to start with, you know, obviously refinancing. We call it refinancing your finances. And then you've got to start creating savings. Infinite banking, as you start adding layers to your life, infinite banking fits into the category of a little bit more advanced, right? So it's not something that for the person that's brand new, just starting out, we need to start with the basics, right? You know, you can't jump from level one to level 10 necessarily, right? So, but as you really start changing your mindset, as you start building your savings, infinite banking is something that does not fit inside the box of your traditional retirement savings. Now, when I say traditional retirement savings, you know, or wealth building, most people think of like IRA, 401k, right? And these are great things. I'm not here to say that that's not what you should do, but especially when somebody wants to create a savings, right? Where they have the ability to have safety, just like they do in the bank, but to be able to get market-like returns, to be able to access that money and actually not just have access to it, but also to create leverage. Because one of the things that, you know, when you talk about wealth leaving clues, you find out wealthy people don't just build wealth from their income. They build wealth from their wealth. And it's a concept called leveraging. And once you start learning about this, it's amazing. And it doesn't have to be that complicated. I'll put it this way. You know how many people I have met in my life that if they own rental properties, they don't own one, they own many. And as you own more and you build equity, you can borrow against that savings to then own more. I have a client that owns over 600 fast food restaurants. This is a guy that moved to the United States from Pakistan and had nothing, worked in a fast food restaurant, and then eventually saved up enough money to actually buy one. And guess what? If he'd have waited until he had enough money to pay it all off, he'd own like 6 restaurants. But because once he built equity and then was able to borrow, use the buying power from that equity to buy another one, then you buy another one and you buy another one. That's why he has 600. You know, so that leveraging component, again, who are we following, right? 10% of the wealthy in our country own 70% of the wealth. And yet most of us listen to the folks that fit into the 90%, because, you know, that's what we feel like we got to do is do what our friends and family do. So infinite banking is just taking that to another level. And there are, just like you can use a house as an asset, you may have heard of like a home equity line of credit, where if you own a house and you build equity in that house, eventually you can borrow from that equity to then be able to, you know, hopefully do something smart with it. Okay, that's what we want to try to coach, is not just go on a lavish vacation, but hopefully do something smart. There are also multi-billion dollar private financial institutions that will allow you to use cash as an asset. And that's where you can essentially just think of it as dropping money into a bucket, a holding account, where you can park cash that you've worked very hard for through your life and your business and businesses, but then be able to utilize that cash as an asset to leverage for other things. And that's what infinite banking is. Ultimately, that's the concept, is you can essentially just continually do that over and over and over again. But it's really not all that different than a savings account, but it's not with your local bank. These are, you know, multi-billion dollar private financial institutions. They're not, this isn't fly by night. Many of these companies have been doing this for over 100 plus years. Currently, though, again, looking at boring statistics here, but the 1% of the wealthiest people in the country own over one third of the reserves inside these multi-billion dollar companies. Most, by the way, most of these companies also operate in the insurance industry. So we're talking about billion dollar financial institutions, just so happens also happen to work in the insurance industry. And you don't have to be a financial expert. Most of us kind of were grew up being told insurance companies have all the money. And guess what? That's true. We just didn't know that you could actually leverage that. There are ways for you to just, you know, we believe in insuring our cars. We believe in insuring our homes. You can also insure your cash. You can insure money.
So for years, I always taught people to, you know, put their money into a high yield savings account, because at least you're getting a little bit more there, and to bank with smaller banks, their local banks, because they tend to get better returns. But when you told me this concept, I was like, oh my gosh, like I wish I would have started 11 years ago when I first started making money. Because I, when you started showing me all these graphs and stuff, I was like, hey, like, oh my gosh, I would have so much more money right now. This is insane. So for the mommy millionaires listening in right now, I want you just to think about this. Like, think about how much money you have in savings. Let's just say it's maybe $20,000 you have in savings, because, you know, we teach people have at least 6 months, you know, of your life expenses in one of your savings accounts, you know, as your emergency fund. So do you recommend, like, they take that $20,000, right, and they put it into one of these corporations and let the money grow over there? And, you know, you treat it just like a savings. You don't take money out of it, but you could if you wanted to, but it's going to grow over there instead of shrink.
Yeah. What you want to do is, obviously, this is part of the coaching and the mindset we have to get people to understand, is how to pay yourself first, right? Most people are taught to pay themselves last, where they pay all their bills first and they put other people before themselves. And then it's like, well, live at or beyond your means. And then if you have a little bit left over, put that in the bank, right? Well, you got to adapt this mentality to pay yourself first. Now, if you do that, like minimum, you got to be making, you know, putting 10% of your income away, minimum, by the way, because you, in America today, with inflation the way it is, I don't know if you've talked to anybody that is collecting Social Security lately, but it ain't a lot of money and it's not getting better. Okay. Excuse my Texisms here, by the way, but it ain't a lot of money, folks. And so there's a lot of personal responsibility that you have to have if you really want to enjoy financial freedom at some point, right? So obviously saving money is important. And we're not anti-bank, because there's absolutely a reason why you do need to use banks. And the money that you have set in the bank for your regular expenses, right? So just your, you know, regular cost of living, once you've structured that to where it really fits responsibly into your life, absolutely that should be in a regular bank, and you should have monthly, you know, automatic withdrawals. But ideally, if we're trying to save more money and you have excess, the more money you have sitting in the bank, it's just gathering dust and inflation is pointing and laughing at it and making it feel bad about itself, right? So yes, this is another, that infinite banking is where people can take their excess savings and start to grow and accumulate that and be able to utilize it. Absolutely.
So talk to me about, what is a permanent life insurance policy? Because when I think a lot of people hear the words life insurance and we go, oh no, that's a scam. Like that's what I thought forever. And not, I don't believe that now.
Yeah. So you got to understand there's two major types of insurance that exist, right? And I've used this term insurance a couple of times in this podcast. So for those of you that were raised that insurance is bad, right? You know, that's just something that's ingrained in us, is that you don't like it. And I'm one of them. You know, I was raised with that kind of a mindset until I started paying attention to numbers and I started paying attention to statistics and finding out that wealth leaves clues. And you start finding out, you know, how are people doing these kind of things, right? So for one, insurance is never going to be the most exciting part of your financial portfolio. Remember that. But it could be the most essential. And you know, I really don't like traditional life insurance because it really only pays out if you pass away. Now, my dad didn't have that and should have had that, right? The person that helped them with their finances, unfortunately, didn't really help them and just sold them a bunch of risky investments and didn't talk to my parents about having even just life insurance. So I do think that's important. But again, there are ways for people to get life insurance you don't have to die to use, and you can advance, you can be advanced up to 75% of your life insurance while you're alive. And even if you're not in a financial position where you have a whole lot of extra money, you're in a much more important position to make sure you have the right kind of protection. And you can get that in cheap term, by the way. Cheap term insurance means you are just buying that insurance for a specific period of time where ideally by the end of that term, you've built up your savings to become self-insured and become financially independent, right? And so if you do pay attention to most all of the basic financial classes that exist, they will say that you should at least do that. Now let's move on to more advanced. Wealthy people don't just buy insurance. Wealthy people own it. And there are permanent strategies that there are companies out there that allow people to essentially think of this as the golden ticket. So I just talked about that there are ways you can park money, no risk, market-like returns, leverage. By the way, did you know the wealthy people are pretty good at finding ways to pay less in taxes? Well, these we've always heard that, right? And we think people like wealthy people don't pay any taxes. Well, they actually cover the most taxes of anybody in our country today. But by percentage of adjusted gross income, wealthy people pay about 10% less than the average American pays in taxes. So they find ways to not evade taxes, but try to avoid taxes. So these strategies that I'm talking to you about, infinite banking, people have some advantages, like you pay no taxes on the gains you receive. That 8 or 9% may not seem like a lot, but over the course of your life, that little bit of interest is millions of dollars. Okay. So that's a big deal to not have to pay taxes on the gains. By the way, you also don't have to pay taxes on the access. And you don't have to pay taxes when you pass away and then your family inherits that. So, you know, it's like when you look at the Forbes 400 list, if you compare it now versus 20 years from now or 20 years ago, or 20 years from now, you'll see a lot of the same names, but it's the kids who inherit the parents' money and found a way to avoid taxes, right? So you got to worry about taxes while you're working and living. And then as you become financially independent and, you know, want to access that kind of thing. So how do you do it, right? Well, just remember Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, and, you know, Charlie had his golden ticket. It's kind of like that, right? There's a golden ticket. And what makes it not too good to be true is for you to be able to park all this money and get all those benefits with these companies, the loophole that exists and has existed, by the way, before our country's existence, you gotta be a customer of XYZ insurance company. You have to have a policy, and specifically, you have to have a life insurance policy. So now this is not when you've heard of like traditional life insurance. This is not what I'm talking about. The old school life insurance policies that maybe your parents or grandparents had, where somebody was doing $100 or $200 a month, that was structured to be mostly insurance. And it, maybe it had a little bit of a savings, which is better than nothing, but it wasn't a whole lot to write home about. And again, a lot of folks that kind of fit into the 90 percenters, the folks who don't really have a whole lot of wealth, kind of have decided that that's not something you should have, right? You're better off buying Bitcoin. So instead, what you have to do is you have to find companies and folks who know how to manipulate that. And you can set these up to where the insurance is mitigated down to the penny, where you're paying as little as legally possible to have that insurance. Now, like I said before, it's not like you're throwing money out the window. There's still a value for having that. But what you're really doing is finding a way to then overfund it. You're paying way more than what that insurance actually costs so that you have the advantages that we just talked about. You know, most people would say the people who need insurance are like regular Americans, right? But you know what's weird? Currently, the top 10% of the wealthiest people in our country own over almost 70%. It's over 65%, but it's, I mean, so we're talking about, you know, almost 70% of all of the reserves within insurance companies are owned by the 10% of the wealthy. Why is that, right? Well, it's not because wealthy folks want more insurance. Nice to have it, extra little benefit. What they really want is everything else we just talked about. Because ultimately, the fact that they can protect their money, make good returns and avoid taxes, and then really be able to leverage it to grow more assets, that's what they want. And that's what they get from this. So it, again, it has to deal with having a wealth mindset versus having a poor mindset. And you just, it's a process. Like I said, it's a process to get to that point.
Well, that's why the Mommy Millionaires are listening in, because they are committed to having that wealth building mindset. And when they hear this term leverage, most people think leverage. Maybe they've read some Kiyosaki books and, you know, leveraging other people's money in order to grow their wealth. You could also leverage, like people leverage banks by opening up, you know, to go buy a house and they get a mortgage, right? They're leveraging the bank. In the concept of infinite banking, you're leveraging your own policy to get richer. So why would somebody want to park their money in this permanent life insurance policy and take a loan from themselves later on? Like, you taught me that concept. I know that's kind of like money 501 or something, but Mommy Millionaires are ready.
It's great. Well, and that's awesome. Obviously, when they have someone coaching them like you do, I mean, you know, that's where I'm lucky and I'm blessed to know you and anybody understand this as much as possible. The fact is, most of us, again, were raised to understand banks where you put money in, and when you need money out, you take out a withdrawal. What wealthy people do is they put money in, and when they take money out, they take it out as a loan. And that's what that means is you're creating an asset, just like, you know, having a house, which is an asset. And instead of, you know, you can't withdraw money from your house, but you can take a loan against your house, the value of that house. And, you know, so banks will give you these home equity line of credits. And your house is a collateral, right? You know, your house isn't going to go away. So it's pretty safe for banks to be able to offer that. Well, you can do the same thing with your cash. So again, we work really hard for money. My dad, my mom worked extremely hard for money, but what they didn't know was how to make their money work hard for them. And that's how you go from the 90% category of the, unfortunately, the poverty mindset that most people have into the wealth mindset of the top 10%. Is learning these little things. And by the way, I mean, these are little things, but what we teach is a little bit of interest, a little bit of a difference over the course of, you know, your life is millions of dollars that you just didn't even know you could have had. It's just that simple. Now, you can still make withdrawals, by the way, you know, so when these strategies are set up, every time a client decides that they need to access some money for some reason, if they want to do a standard withdrawal, you go for it. But of course, we're coaching people in these strategies that, you know, if you're, you know, again, you got to be a little bit more of a savvier investor. You got to really have the right mindset that if you're using this money for something smart, you probably should consider taking a loan. And there are what's called a participating loan. Without getting too far into the weeds, it just means that, let's say you're making long-term returns of around 8% on your cash, okay, in that safe strategy. Let's say that loan costs 3 or 4%. Well, then that means you're getting credited returns on that 8%, but only having to pay a loan for 3 or 4%. So you're still making a 4 or 5% net return on money you're using somewhere else. So you're actually
making... When you taught me that, I was mind blown. I was like, oh my gosh, say it again.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah. You know, and again, it's not like we came up with this, you know, I mean, this has existed since well before we were born. And for generations, a lot of wealthy people have been doing it. And unfortunately, this is the reason why I'm so adamant about this for anybody, because unfortunately, a lot of people kind of fall into these myths and misconceptions about money, which is I'll invest money when I have money, or the only way to get rich is to get rich quick. I still teach classes, open accounts. In the last week, I've talked to somebody starting out saving $200 a month. And I talked to somebody that's got $2 million and it doesn't matter. The worst thing you can do is nothing. So you got to be educated. You got to do the best you can, but ultimately you got to do something, right? And that's where, okay, so I know how you feel about this. Maybe you'd like a quote, but one of my favorite stories from the Bible is the story of the sower in Corinthians said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. And that is truth, whether you are saving for yourself or serving others and building a business to help others. I mean, that is really, really important principle to understand.
So good. Now, I know the Mommy Millionaires were like, okay, how do I do this? What are the first steps they could take to get started in the infinite banking world?
So obviously, you know, getting organized, creating a budget, goals, all that stuff you got to have set up. And then from there, the next step is finding somebody that really, truly understands how to do this and specializes in that.
Insert your name.
Call Jack. I happen to know this guy named Jack. So that's what I'm known for. As I went through my research process in the financial world, there is no one thing that does everything. And I'm very pro diversification. I'm not anti-bank. I'm not anti-stock, anti-cryptocurrency. I'm not anti-anything. I am anti-ignorance. And what not enough people know is really what their options are. And I also, not only am I pro-diversification, I'm also pro-diversification of advisors. I've worked with a lot of wealthy people, and none of those wealthy people have one advisor. What you really want to do to be successful is learn how to diversify, figure out what you like doing, and then find people who can help you in those areas. So I ultimately, obviously, our company is known for starting with conservative, basic foundational type strategies. That's what we all do in my company. But ultimately, I also have an interest in real estate, and thus infinite banking is a really good fit within that for entrepreneurs and business people as well. So that's something that I, over the course of time, became an authority and became known for, and why I was introduced to you. So yes, happy to help anybody with that. Again, there's, if you look at the financial world, right, there's people that are in the insurance industry that they were kind of trained to just talk about insurance. And there's people that maybe do mutual funds and stocks, and that's really what they know, right? And this is sort of a hybrid, you know, something where it's much more on the financial side, but it's manipulating some insurance to be able to do that. And so I saw a gap there where there's just not a whole lot of folks that sort of are a specialist in that area. And I am Jack, but I can tell you it's impossible in the financial world to be the Jack of all trades. You'd be the master of none. So ultimately decided that that's something I wanted to master. And so these things are really good if you deal with someone who knows what they're doing and structures it correctly, custom fit for your life, not for just what someone else tells you to do, but what you actually are going to do.
How much money do the women need in order to kind of get started? Because I know that's a question they're thinking, okay, well, how much do I need to have in my savings before I come to you? Or should they come to you before they have any money in savings?
Some of the best clients that I work with today, I met with them and could do nothing for them. You know, maybe they were in a position where they had a debt or tax issue. I have believed my mom was paying somebody 5% in annual fees to lose 75% of her life savings in 2008. When I decided to get into this industry, I decided I would never charge anybody anything for my time. Now, I am compensated to do what I do, but it comes from these multi-billion dollar companies effectively pay me out of their marketing budget, out of their profits. Okay. That would be different, by the way, if you hired me to buy and manage, you know, risky investments, right? I have a business partner, and his name's Dylan. When my clients do want to get into some of those riskier type things, I bring him in, and that's all he does. So again, I have a specialist for that. So I own the company. I have my own specialty, which is, you know, more of the safe money and infinite banking. But ultimately, I am willing to work with people, whether they have no money to save, if they're backwards, if they've got lots of money. It's my way of giving back. I find ways to make time. I'm very busy, but very blessed, and have a great life and structure things and that. And I also have a team of people that work with me. And so I have a lot of support. And ultimately, for all of us as entrepreneurs, you learn that at some point, is the difference between somebody who has a little bit of a business and a great big business is first hiring a great assistant, and then as many as you possibly can, you know. And so almost virtually 100% of my time today is having conversations, finding out where people have been in their life, where they're at right now, and ultimately where they want to go. And whether that means I can help them now or help create a plan for them where I can help them set up something, you know, 3 years from now, I'll do it. And so, you know, so will the folks that I work with.
Gosh, that's so amazing. That's very generous of you. So now to wrap this up, what are some ways that Mommy Millionaires, because you've worked with so many people, what are some ways that Mommy Millionaires can create like additional income streams in their lives?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on your interests and personality and what you ultimately want to do, you know, and finding ways to serve people, right? So if you can combine a personal interest that you have and somehow that you can use that personal interest. So I have a client that her interest is creating, she's an artist, right? And this is something I'm not at all. I have no musical or artistic ability other than, you know, learning how to be a good doodler in the back of class as I wasn't paying attention to Algebra 2, right? So she is really good at making some things. Not necessarily that she wasn't necessarily the strongest business person, but she makes like carved stuff out of wood, really intricate, nice things. But she didn't understand business. And so we actually had a conversation, and it's not like I could tell her how to structure her business. I'm just like you, I deal with accountants and finance and people on that end that can help you figure out how to structure the business. But I do know how to find ways to serve people, and there's websites out there and apps. All of a sudden I can't think of the most popular one, Etsy, right? So now I'm proud to say, as a guy, I've bought many gifts for people on Etsy. I love buying things from people that are not just made from China, right? And are made here by folks and
supporting small business. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, so guess what? So she ends up deciding to combine those things. And within 2 years, she left her job and now does very well, doing that. And so anyway, I will say, if you can find a way to combine a compassion, but ultimately, let's go back to what the story of the sower teaches us. You still got to sow more seeds, right? If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow generously, you will reap generously. And if you are looking to increase your income and doing something new, you're going to be new. And it means you're probably going to have some learning experiences. And that's what kind of prevents people from doing that. Is I know you work with, you coach, you're an entrepreneur and coach entrepreneurs. And I love entrepreneurs. I love people that are self-employed. And I mean, half my job is I work with clients. The other half of my job is supporting folks that decide they want to work in the financial industry in our company. And it's just, there's only two things you can control: your attitude and your activity. And you've got to have this mentality, which is, I know it's going to be hard. It's probably going to be harder than you think. It's going to take longer than you think, but you got to, feel like it's deep down, it's worth it. Because when you go out there, here's another, Wayne Gretzky, hockey player, said, yeah, okay, so.
Not really, but my kids are hockey players, so they love
them. Okay. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, he scored so many goals and scored so many points in his career that even today, all the best hockey players don't even try to accomplish what he's done. Like, they know it's not even like realistic. He played for 20 years. He scored so many points. Nobody ever even hopes to break his records. That's how astronomical his records are. And he's famous for saying, I miss 100% of the shots I don't take. So the same thing applies for my clients. If you don't take a shot, you're never going to score. And if you are wanting to increase your life, change your life, increase your income, just understand everything that's great outside of it exists beyond your comfort zone, and you got to take shots. You're going to have to take shots, and you're going to miss. But sometimes you score and sometimes you learn, right? Everything is a learning experience, and that experience lends itself to giving you more confidence and more conviction to combine your passion with that ability to serve others and become much more effective. That's my 17-year journey, was, following really, really good people and then just focusing on those two things, attitude and activity. And you just keep doing it long enough and you will win.
I love that you said that. I've never heard control your attitude and control your activity, because I think people don't get past the first step of controlling their attitude because they get into woe is me, but that's really, attitude is everything. And you have such a positive attitude, a positive outlook. And I want to know, how did you create such a successful business? You obviously, you have that attitude going, but what was your activity?
Okay. So as far as activity goes, right? Well, I've learned from some of my great mentors that one of the things you ought to do is you got to find ways to serve people and provide a little bit more than what's expected, right? If you can do what people expect and then just do a little bit more, it creates a wow effect. Most people in the financial, so let's think about that. So in my industry, most people in the financial world are willing to meet with somebody one time to show them a brochure, sell them something, and they charge them for it, and I'm sorry, but if you're going to serve the masses, I had to learn how to focus on changing mindsets, which is the hardest, it's a big challenge when you're talking with, all Americans, right? There's a lot of people in the financial industry that won't talk to somebody unless they got $2 million. Not bad people. That's their prerogative. So what that meant is we had to add some extra steps. So for me, we had to focus on education, free education with no catch. Then we had to focus on building relationships, really getting to know people and finding out, what their experiences have been, where they're at today, and then helping them create goals for the future, and then following up with people and keeping that relationship. And you know what happens when you find ways to do just a little bit more than what's expected, people will tell other people. And that's, again, part of having that infinite mindset, right? Simon Sinek, there's a great book, The Infinite Game, where is you're not worried about what you did. So if you have an employee mindset, you're like, I did this today, I get paid, you know, for that. And you're trading your time for dollars, right? To be successful as an entrepreneur, you think of what you did today and how much that makes a difference for you 5 years from now. Where are you going to be 5 years from now? Not right now. The other thing that I did, so our company was in 30 different states. Texas was not one of them. I'm originally from Texas. I spent most of my life in Colorado. Beautiful state, love Colorado. But 30 different states and Texas wasn't one of them. So I actually moved here. So my wife and I had a 6-month-old son and just decided, well, you look at the statistics, might be a good market. But it doesn't matter. Anywhere you go could be a great market. Ultimately, I just saw that as an opportunity. The challenge being, I knew nobody, right? In Colorado, where I had already built a practice, you know, when I got started working to help people, you know, I kind of had a little bit of a network. I had people that I could go to and say like, hey, love to be able to help you any way I can, or help people you know, and that kind of thing. Whereas when I moved to Texas, nobody's ever even heard of me or our company. And I'm a big believer in creating strategic alliances. And what I sought out was, who are people that are really good at what they do in the communities I hope to serve? And how can I help them? And if it's a go-giver mindset of how do I go help others serve that community? And ultimately, if I can build a strong enough relationship and people see that I can provide value to people, then ultimately those relationships usually bring people back. So if I'm out there and I'm looking at trying to build a practice, you can work really, really hard and spend a ton of money on advertising to find customers. Or you can try to find people who have customers. And if you can help them, they will want to help you. So I took a lot of interest in people and helping them. And by the way, I've lost plenty, right? So I've found people that I really liked. And then I go out there to my network and I go out there and I am trying to help them, right? I do vet people. So it's not like I just meet somebody out of the blue and say, oh, hey, I'm just going to start sending people to you. Like if I was to find somebody that, let's say, did home insurance and auto insurance, right? And I really liked what they did and we had a great meeting or something, I'm immediately reaching out and saying, who needs help in this area, right? And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're getting emails and text messages from me with, hey, I've got somebody you need to help. I've got, you know, this person, because I want to help them. And then ultimately, guess what? You know, next thing you know, I'm getting emails and phone calls. And so no matter what, in all opportunities, do what you can to exceed expectations and find ways to help others and just give yourself enough time for that to come back.
Wow. So good. Oh my goodness. I mean, so we learned about how to get richer and how to build our relationships up too. I mean, I always say relational capital is like the best thing that you can own, because I mean, you're one person away from usually knowing, like meeting that person, finding a deal that could help you get richer, helping your family be more free, you know? So you have to be relational minded and be making sure that like, okay, I'm making deposits in people every single day. So I love that, Jack. Okay, so how can people connect with you and work with you potentially?
I have an office phone number. I'm happy to just give that out. So, you know, my assistant, Lori, will either answer the phone or
because it's going to ring off the hook here.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. No problem. So if
this is old school, you guys, he's giving out a phone number. Normally it's a website.
I do have a website. We can link you to that as well. That way you can, you know, read about us and all that too. If you want to reach out directly, it's 469-573-2979. And a lady picks up the phone that sounds like the happiest person in the world. Her name is Lori. And that's my personal assistant. Very blessed to be working with her. So again, 469-573-2979. And then I'll get you the links to our website as well. And
we'll put that all in the show notes and that phone number too, so people can look at it. But yeah, this was such a great, I mean, I learned so much just hearing you share it and teach it again. And I know that mommy millionaires are going to be blessed by listening to this and just, you know, if anything, that their mindset is expanded of what could be possible for them. And yeah, I hope that a lot of mommy millionaires call you up.
Yeah, well, happy to help anybody. Like I said, don't feel, it's very common to feel like you're not there yet. And again, the worst thing you can do is nothing. And I already told you, we're we're totally here to help anybody, regardless of your situation, income, or asset level. because everybody deserves it. You know, that's the responsibility that we took on to help people. So anyway, give me a shout anytime, or I mean, you can Google Jack Waldron, Five Rings Financial, and that's like the, you know, number five. So five.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes too, so everybody can find it.
But yeah, I mean, I, like I said, it is my dream come true. I get to do this for the rest of my life. I mean, this is, you know, after what happened with my family, this became my life's mission. I am very blessed. You know, I have a beautiful wife, two beautiful kids, and we structure time for work, and then we have time to enjoy life, you know, and very, very blessed and happy to help any way I possibly can for the rest of my life. So anyway, I'm just blessed to be here and to know somebody like you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in and listening all the way through on the Mommy Millionaire Show. Make sure to subscribe anywhere that you're listening to podcasts at. And if you happen to have iTunes, would you do me a favor and leave a review of the show? And of course, make it honest. I know you're going to give me a 5-star, right? That's the way that we get this message out to more and more people around the world. Remember, as you do that, whatever you wish to receive, you have to give it first. And so giving a review, you know, something good is going to come your way today. Take the time and do that. Plus, I know you're the type of person who wants to really help people live their best life as well. So you could copy this link, share it out there with your friends, share it on social media. Remember, people need to be inspired more than ever right now. And I know you can help me on this mission. Thank you so much for being a part of the Mommy Millionaire podcast. Until next time, make sure to go after your dreams by being the person you were truly meant to be. Wealthy, happy, peaceful, and full of life. Love you.